Oh, gratefully sing his wonderful love. I should in defender the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you so much, Josiah. Appreciate it. And good to have you on board, Josiah and Bailey. And good to be here once again with you all here at Salt Creek. Please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at the story of Simeon this morning and see how that story of Simeon relates to our peace this Christmas, because as we saw with the children, we lit the candle of peace today in our Advent toward, our walking toward Christmas and inviting the Lord into our season right now. So please turn there to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to eventually read in verse 25. But first of all, I'd like to ask you the question about peace, because I hope that you'll take this in, take this to heart this morning. How are you not having peace this Christmas? And so that's an important question for a lot of us. All of us. It's an important question for me, experientially. It's an important question perhaps for you with maybe things that you're going through. How are you experiencing God's peace right now, or are you? Or how is that peace being challenged? I think we're going to look at that this morning and see the story of Simeon makes a lot of sense to us this Christmas. I'm wondering if maybe maybe your peace is just simply based on physical circumstances. Like if things are going okay today, this week, or this month, then you're doing all right. You're feeling just fine. But if those physical circumstances don't work out for you in the way that you want them to, what about then? How's your peace quotient then? I like this quote, God's peace is not the calm after the storm, it's the steadfastness during it. I like that. God's peace is not the calm after the storm, it's what's happening during the challenges of your life that matter. Because there are a lot of things right now that could be stealing your peace this Christmas. Couple of examples. Now, I'm not going to say that I'm old, but I'm getting older, and I'm 58 years old. I don't feel old until my body tells me I am, actually. And so this came up just the other day when we were getting things out for Christmas. I don't know if you're like me, but we have all of our Christmas decorations stored in these big red and green totes. And I don't know why I thought it was clever to buy these totes. They're like this big. And we put all our decorations in those totes, and it's just heavy, and I put those away in the attic, and then I go every year and schlep those things out, and I'm hurting my back as I pull them out. So I thought about that this year ahead of time. And so when the kids showed up, in the beginning of December, I said, hey, you want to bring those totes down for me? Aha. So they did, so they brought them down. So there's that. My health, right, can be stealing my peace right now. I don't know about you, but we're not getting any younger. Did you know the economy's tanking right now? My investments are doing really bad. I don't know about you, but I don't even want to look at those right now, right? So there's that, right, that could steal my peace. I'm not sure what it is for you. Maybe you're a little bit too much into politics, and our country, by the way, is divided right now. In fact, there are a lot of our leaders that are anti-Christian and anti-God, and so you can really get stirred up in your heart about that stuff, right? About politics. That could be stealing your peace. There are all kinds of things that can be stealing your peace this Christmas that shouldn't have that opportunity and shouldn't have that privilege to steal the peace that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay, let's look at the story of Simeon now. Everyone, please stand as I read from God's Word, Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35. If you're not familiar with this story, just another good chance to hear this part of the Christmas story. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When his parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, As you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this story and for what you did through Simeon and revealed to Simeon that now has for ages and ages and generations reminded us of who Jesus is, our salvation, which brings peace. And so, Lord, I pray that you would take these words from your word, apply them to our hearts today, and cast us off into this season with a deeper understanding, a deeper dedication to the peace that we have in Jesus Christ this Christmas. It's in his name that we all pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I just love that story of Simeon, because Simeon finds peace. He says in verse 29, because of God's sovereign gift of Jesus. The context is the 40th day after Jesus' birth. Now think about that for a minute. The first Christmas, all right, Jesus was born in the manger. And now this is 40 days later. Now, Jesus had already been brought back to the temple on the 8th day to be circumcised by Joseph and Mary. They did that. It says in verse 22. Or is it verse 21? Check. And now we're at the 40th day. And two things are going on here. Number one, Mary was commanded in God's law to come back and to give an offering at the temple for her purification, having given birth 40 days earlier. This was a purification offering, was called. And at the same time, you'll notice in the story that Joseph and Mary had brought Jesus with them on this 40th day. Now, why is that? If this was for her purification. Well, it's also true that they were commanded to bring a consecration offering if they had a firstborn son. Okay? So they would do it at the same time, on the 40th day. And that's the context. While they were there, there was a man standing there at the temple, Simeon, who was a righteous and devout believer, Jewish believer in God. And in fact, in a very special way, Simeon, it says, had been anointed by the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit was upon him, it says in verse 25, and had shown him that the Messiah was about to be born. This was a very special moment. I wish I'd have been Simeon, actually. What a privilege it would have been to have been revealed by the Holy Spirit, told by the Holy Spirit to wait, because you're going to see the Messiah before you die. And how long was Simeon actually waiting there at the temple for this event to happen? We don't know. Maybe it was a few days. Maybe it was a few weeks. Maybe, and this is what I think, it was years. I think it was years that Simeon was waiting for the Messiah to be revealed. Why do I think that? Because it says you're not going to die until it happens. So it could be a while. It's going to be before you die, right? And so I think he was waiting there a very long time. And then Simeon then takes the baby in his arms. So Joseph and Mary show up with Jesus. Simeon's been waiting there a very long time. The Holy Spirit says, now this is the day. So go inside the temple today. So that he's waiting for a long time. Then the Holy Spirit sends him in on this very day. He goes in, and guess what? There's Joseph and Mary with the baby. Like, it's all in God's plan. And so he takes the baby into his arms, right? And in the first part of the passage, he blesses, he praises God for what's happening. And in the second part of the passage, he prophesies about what impact the Messiah will have on the world. What a privilege in that moment. And then he says these words in verse 29. Everyone look at verse 29. Because my sermon is based on this one verse, verse 29. He says, Simeon says, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace." I want to focus on four phrases or words in that one verse this morning. First of all, the Sovereign Lord. Sovereign Lord. Simeon addresses God as the Sovereign Lord. It's the first thing out of his mouth. He says, "Sovereign Lord." Now, why does he say that? Because he is. Because God is the Sovereign Lord, right? And everything that is transpiring on this 40th day after Jesus' birth is intimately connected with God's sovereign eternal plan. Think about that. And Simeon understands that. He gets that. He gets that now something is happening that's perfectly fit for God's design for eternity. And so he starts his prayer with that word, Sovereign Lord. Now, when we think of the idea of a sovereign person, I think in the English language or maybe in our American democracy, we think that that's a little bit of out of date, right? Because it is, right? Because we really don't believe in monarchies anymore. Well, we're kind of curious about the English monarchy, aren't we? And now with King Charles, it's a whole new transition in the English monarchy, and it's kind of interesting and curious. But really, I mean, we know it's just kind of, at this point in history, just kind of outdated, right? Because no one believes in monarchies anymore. They shouldn't. If they have a good political system, they should believe in democracies, of course. So it's an interesting relationship we have with the word sovereign, because we don't really like it. But when we use the word sovereign for God, it's a must, right? It's a must word. Why? Because he's perfect and he's holy. And if we think about God as anything, we must think about him as sovereign, as in control. God is God, and he is in control. Amen? In fact, I'd like you to say this first point with me. God is God, and he is in control. And that will bring you peace if you believe it. All throughout the scriptures, we see the idea of God's sovereignty. I like what Job said about God's sovereignty. Of course, who's Job? He's that man who had a horrible life, right? God allowed it to happen. And here's some words from Job in Job 42:2. "I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted." Say that with me. I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. That's Job's understanding of God's sovereignty. And Job was the man who's in his life, things weren't going so well, right? And yet, he believes in the sovereignty of God. Do you believe in the sovereignty of God, even when things don't go your way? Here's another Bible passage of God's sovereignty, Isaiah 46:10. The words of God through the prophet Isaiah. "I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please." Powerful. This is one of the most powerful passages of God's sovereignty in Scripture. Let's say it together. "I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please." It's all over the Bible, God's sovereignty. And as God's sovereignty is revealed to you and to us through the Scriptures, and you begin to understand his sovereignty more and more, please don't see it as some cruel, despotic demeanor in God, where God is the puppet master and we are the puppets, but rather, God's sovereignty is a wonderfully mysterious thing in which God comforts us. He comforts us with his sovereign strength. And at the very same time, he invites us into his wonderful will and plan for the ages. And it is mysterious. And I cannot explain it perfectly to you. But understand that in some wonderful way, God wants you to be comforted by the truth of his sovereign control, and at the same time, God has this wonderful way of inviting us in to his eternal story. How does that work? I don't know. And one day, I believe I will more fully understand it in heaven. But this should bring us peace, this truth of God's sovereignty. And it did for Simeon. And so his very first words when he saw Jesus and he realized that the plan of the ages was truly unfolding before his eyes, the very first words out of his mouth is, "Oh, sovereign Lord, thank you." Can you say that this Christmas as you see God's plan unfold? Sometimes it's hard because it's not unfolding the way we want it to. I love the words of the song, 10,000 Reasons. One of the verses goes like this: "The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass, and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes." You see, this is a statement of an intentional statement of will from your mind, saying to God, "Whatever happens, I want to see it as from you and praise you for it." We sing this song quite often, actually. "Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, Lord, I know that you're in control, whether in good times or in bad. God has control of my life." Men, by the way, I know a secret. I know a secret about my life. And here it is. I know exactly how long I'm going to live. Did you know that? I know that about my life. I'm going to live forever. Amen? And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, so are you. And that truth should bring us peace. And that truth comes from the sovereign promise of God, that if we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will live forever with him in heaven. Years ago, we were having a small group Bible study in our home. Corey and I, my wife and I, have always had small group Bible studies in our homes. Different churches call them different things. We call them home groups. And for years, we had a home group in our home. And I can remember one season, we were studying things of heaven. And there was a lady who was coming during that season. And her name was Luann. And Luann she was about 60 years old, as I recall. And she had terminal pulmonary fibrosis. It's a condition of your lungs in which your lungs begin to turn into kind of like leather. They kind of harden. And it's a disease, and there's not much they can do about it. And this was happening in her life over the course of about 2 years. And towards the end of that 2 years, she was having a very difficult time breathing. And so she had a portable oxygen tank that she was bringing with her. She would come into our house and turn on the oxygen tank. It was actually very distracting, but it didn't matter because we just loved on her, right? And we knew that she was just struggling so intensely with her health. And I can remember this one night, and we were studying about eternity and studying about being with God in heaven in our Bible study. And I made that comment that I know exactly how long I'm going to live, that I'm going to live forever. And she just wholeheartedly agreed, and you know it helped, and it blessed her. And I can remember after the Bible study, going into the kitchen right there, and she was there, and I saw her in there, and I went over and I grabbed her hands, and she was looking at me, and I was looking at her, and I grabbed her two hands like this, and we're just face to face, and I said, "Luann, you know I believe that so truly that we know exactly how long we're going to live. We're going to live forever." And she said, "I know." She said, "Pastor, I know." You see, here's the point. That her peace, she could not build her peace on physical circumstances. Amen? You cannot do that. You cannot build the peace in your heart upon all of the things that are going around you, especially your health. Why? Because we're going to die physically sooner or later. Our peace is in the sovereign hand of God through Jesus. Amen? And that's what Simeon knew. on that 40th day after the birth of Jesus, that it was all unfolding right before his eyes, and that he could take peace. So, number one, he's taking peace in the sovereignty of God. Number two, he's taking peace in the promise of God. The promises of God. Because if God says that it's true, God has revealed it to us in his word, then it's reliable and we can count on it. He promised Jesus in the Old Testament and he delivered Jesus in the New Testament. Praise God, it's the greatest promise of all time. And so now we can say this. Because the Lord is sovereign, his words have ultimate authority and trustworthiness. Let me say that again. Because the Lord is sovereign, his words have ultimate authority and trustworthiness. This is very important to you this Christmas. It's always important. But it's important to you this Christmas. Because God's promises to us in his word about Christmas have everything to do with eternity. Christmas is not just some kind of another holiday where you can take time off from work. Christmas was promised, Christmas happened, and Christmas becomes the foundation of our peace. And it's based on the promises of God, which are trustworthy and true. Our faith as Christians is based on the faithfulness and trustworthiness of the Bible. Revelation 21:5 says this, he who is seated on the throne, that is Jesus, said to John in the Revelation, I'm making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Book of Revelation. He's talking about the book of Revelation. Say that with me. For these words, you forgot to say it with me, real loud now. For these words are trustworthy and true. Okay? Book of Revelation. Now, multiply that over 66 times, because there's 66 books in the Bible, and that's the foundation of your peace, is what God has said to us. If it wasn't for God revealing himself to us, we wouldn't know God. Because otherwise he's unknowable in specific. He's knowable in general in the creation, but in special, it's the Word of God in which we know him. And so the Bible, my friends, is chock full of promises for us that are trustworthy and true. The most important of which is Jesus, the promised Messiah. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Christmas promise from the Old Testament. Here's another one. Love this, Isaiah 9:6. You know it, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called, say it with me, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Again, Christmas promise from the Old Testament. Oh, there's promises all over the Old Testament about the coming Messiah. Here's another one. I love this one from the book of Daniel. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days, which is God, and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations, all peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. That's Jesus. King Jesus. King of our hearts right now, and then king of the whole world when he returns in his second advent. Now, I don't need to give you clever stories to give you deep-seated peace this Christmas. All I have to do is show you the Bible, which is what I'm doing this morning. I'm just showing you the Bible, because that's where we find our peace in God's Word. God promised the Messiah, God delivered the Messiah, and now we have the Messiah. Amen? It's all God's promises to us. Here it is in the New Testament, Matthew 1:22 and 23, and you know this, so let's read it together. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Promise fulfilled. New Testament. Praise God. And that's what Simeon knew. When Simeon saw this, right, it wasn't just that he'd been promised specially by the Holy Spirit that he would see the Messiah come before he died. He knew already from all of his reading in the Old Testament that this was going to happen at some point. And so he was just primed and ready for this. And then he got the special moment to be the one to see Jesus at the temple on the 40th day. And so the promise was fulfilled, and Simeon knew that, and God does that. He fulfills his promises to us. Now, the question becomes, do you believe that this Christmas? Do you believe that God makes good on his promises to you as a Christian? And so you read these promises in the Bible and you think, now, is that true for me too? You better believe it, right? And so, for instance, regarding peace, inward peace, God promises this to you in a very famous passage, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. You know it. Do not be anxious about anything. Are you, by the way, anxious about anything? I am, unfortunately. Working on it, though, because I don't want to be anxious. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, right? Make your request made known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's a promise for you as a believer in Jesus Christ. Are you counting on that promise in your life? Or do you know it in your head, but you're not accepting it in your heart? I don't know, all right? I'm preaching today to deepen your understanding and belief in the promises of God. Here's another very important promise. You know this one. We're going to say it together, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. All right, say it with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. That's a promise. He will make your paths straight. You may not like the way he's taking you, but it'll be straight. It'll be his way, right? That's a promise. What's the condition? Trust in the Lord. That's what I'm preaching. Trust in the Lord. Like Simeon, trusted in the Lord. Are you trusting in the Lord with your particular situation this Christmas? Now, I have one more promise I want to share with you. It's a promise to unbelievers. Well, it's a promise to all of us, but it's an especial promise to unbelievers, John 3:16, right? And I'm not ashamed to go simple. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. My friends, if you're not a Christian yet, this is a promise to you. Do you want eternal life or not? Now, it may be for a younger person sitting here, and you as a younger person may be thinking, well, I know my parents believe in this stuff. I know I have some friends that believe in this stuff, but I'm not so sure for myself. Or maybe you're not a younger person. Maybe you're actually growing older and you've struggled with this all your life. I'm saying to you this morning, don't play games with this concept anymore. Don't play games with God and his promises, because he promises to those who believe to give eternal life. And to those who don't believe, the consequence is eternal separation from him forever. And so this is a promise that I beg of you to take to heart. That if you believe in Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, that you will receive eternal life and you'll know where you're going to be living forever. That's with God. Amen? Okay, let's move on. I like the next word in our verse 29, the word servant. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. You see, Simeon wanted to be God's servant. That's my point here. Simeon wanted to be God's servant and be humble. This is my point. The sovereign Lord speaks his will to his people in expectation that we will hear his promises and follow his commands. That's the next screen, by the way. Let me read it again. The sovereign Lord speaks his will to his people in expectation that we will hear his promises and follow his commands. God expects us to be interested in what he says as we read his word. And he expects us to follow that, right? Simple. Just obey God. Now that you believe in him, great. Now obey him, right? And Simeon was interested. Simeon wanted to be God's servant. How do we know, right? Well, he was waiting there an awful long time, obeying God. How about you? I really wonder, as I've said already, how long Simeon stood there. I think it was years. If God asked you to do something for years, would you do it? Oh, God, I'm tired of doing that. I struggle with that. I really do. I mean, honestly, I struggle. I get to a point sometimes where I struggle with doing the same thing over and over and over again for a long, long time. I like new things. Like, I like fresh things, right? But what if God just says, no, I want you to keep doing it. I want you to keep being a wonderful father. I want you to keep being a wonderful mother. I want you to keep being a wonderful employee at your job, whatever, okay? Long term, would you do it? Would you obey God? You know, it's the rubber meets the road on how we obey God on these things. I'm personally in a season of my life right now where I don't know the future in my career. And I believe with all my heart that I'm following the Lord and what He wants me to do. But sometimes I don't see the next step or the results or the purposes. There's lots that I don't see. And so there's lots of trusting going on in my life right now, or a challenge to trust. I'm walking by faith. And in this not knowing the future, I'm tempted to lose my peace. I don't know about you, but when you don't know the future, do you ever start to lose your peace and start to crumble a little bit? I do. I'm a human being too. And I have to go back. This is a sermon for me, by the way. Isn't that funny how God takes a preacher and gives him a sermon that really is for Himself? This is a sermon for me where I'm seeking God and saying, God, I need your peace again. There's cracks. There's cracks in my peace right now. But as there's weaknesses and cracks in my peacefulness and even in my faith, then the power of God comes into those cracks and He fills them. Because when I am weak, say it with me, He is strong, right? And that's what I'm striving for right now. As even if I'm weak right now, Lord, that You come in and You be my strength, and let Your strength shine through my life. One of the verses that I've chosen to live by this year is Hebrews 11:8, which is the example of Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. That's my life this year. And I want you to come along with me and read this verse together. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Maybe there's someone else here this morning that doesn't know where you're going in the coming year. Oh, Christmas is all fine and nice and everything, but when January 1 hits, you're not sure what's happening in your life. Maybe that's you. Be like Abraham, not knowing where you're going, but still having that faith and that peace. Be like Simeon, who understands the sovereign control and hand of God. What's happening in your life right now in which you fear the future? What's happening in your life right now in which you fear the future? Because God wants us to follow Him instead of fear. Because God wants us to trust Him instead of worry. Because God wants us to have peace instead of anxiety. And that's where we land at the end here this morning. Peace. Simeon had Christmas peace. Sovereign Lord, as You have promised, You now dismiss Your servant in peace. The way I put it in my point number four is this. The promise fulfilled by our sovereign God was the incarnation of Jesus Christ, who has become our peace. There is no other peace in comparison to Jesus. And we need peace in our souls, don't we? And we need peace in our world. It's only going to happen because of Jesus. In verse 25, it says that Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Quote, consolation of Israel, unquote. That's how he said it. Those were his exact words. That he had been told by the Holy Spirit to wait for the consolation of Israel. That's an interesting phrase. The word consolation is an interesting word in the English language to us, because I think sometimes we undervalue the word console or consolation. When we hear the word consolation, sometimes we think of like the consolation prize. Like, Like the booby prize, right? The second or third or fourth, or you didn't even make the rankings, right? So you get like the participation award. No. Jesus is not our consolation prize. Jesus is the top prize. Amen? The consolation of Israel means this, the comfort of Israel, when Israel needed to be comforted by the most powerful God of all, Jesus Christ. He was the consolation of the people of Israel that were being oppressed by the Romans, and they needed deliverance, right? And so Jesus is our comfort this Christmas. And Simeon got that, and he trusted that. He trusted, here we are wrapping it up, that the sovereign Lord had made promises to his servants about the Messiah and now fulfilled that, which gave Simeon peace. How about you this Christmas? Do you need God's peace? We all do. Take it from the deepest source of all, which is Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this morning, for this story of Simeon. I thank you so much for your word that we can trust it. It's trustworthy and true. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would send us out from here today and bless us with that reassurance and that peace that we only get from Christmas, from Jesus. In whose name we pray, amen.